You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Spring has sprung. The grass has riz. I wonder where the birdies is. No one knows where these words came from, and you probably have to be as old as I am to have ever heard them before. They point to the changes that arrive with spring, that call us to wonder and beauty. If you were to come and visit our home right now, you'd see many signs of spring. In the driveway, a pot of six large yellow Gerber daisies have unfolded and are reaching out to greet and welcome you. Around the corner near the gate, a star jasmine displays tiny white flowers that, if you come close, will share their fragrance with you. Walking around our front and backyard, you'll encounter hysperella and yellow bells, red lantana, ruella, and petunias, all doing their best to display their beauty and to be what they were created to be. But the grand dame of them all is the 20-foot desert willow in the middle of our front yard. Not long ago, what you saw was the barrenness of winter. No leaves, certainly no flowers, just bare limbs. You would look at it and wonder if it was even still alive. And then one day, amazingly, it is as if someone flipped a switch. The green buds of new life suddenly make their appearance, announcing that the almost dead desert willow is just awakening from winter sleep. In a few more days, the whole tree is ablaze with purple orchid-like blossoms. Such is the will to life. Such is the call to beauty, buried deep within its core. And if you want to know where the birdies are, well, just come around early in the morning and sit with me on the back patio. You know it's spring, as you haven't seen your friends for some time, but there they are, quite a variety, some passing through on their way north, some locals beginning to build their nests, even in the trees in the backyard. And it's mating season. There's lots of dancing and fluttering and chasing going on, observable to those who pause to notice. A friend of Betsy and me, Rebecca Parker, wrote a poem about winter solstice. She included one line in particular that has never ceased to grab my attention. "Stunned to stillness by beauty, we remember who we are and why we're here." Stunned to stillness by beauty. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by beauty that it takes your breath away and stuns you to stillness? Jesus must have enjoyed moments like this because one day he invited his disciples to pause, set aside their cell phones, and take note of the beauty of the wildflowers. He comments on how easily they grow, and that they don't have to work very hard at all to make their own clothes. "Wise King Solomon," he says, "in all of his regal glory, wasn't as well clothed as one of these flowers." God gives this kind of beauty to everything, Jesus notes, even though it's here one day and gone the next. God lavishes beauty on the world, but you and I have to take time to notice. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful. The Lord God made them all. There's a mystery about beauty. It's beyond words and thoughts. It's first of all a feeling of wonder and awe that emanates from the depth of our being. It is as if we were made by beauty and for beauty. Some even speak of beauty as another name for God. Rumi, a 13th century Persian mystic, writes, "Open the window of your heart and look at the beloved's face. Love's task is to create that window so his beauty may illumine the heart. Thus, perfecting yourself, you will be able to reflect the beloved, whose grace is the nourishment of spirit." I remember visiting Cuernavaca in 1984, and in particular, an area called La Estación, the station. Located in a defunct railroad yard, it is one of the poorest areas of Cuernavaca. And when I visited there, there were over 100 squatter families, more than 1,000 people in all, for which there were only 2 spigots of water, all living in this small area of the city. The dwellings were very humble, mostly one-room shacks. But given all of that, I experienced moments of beauty that day. One of them that I particularly remember was walking up to one of those shack-like spaces and immediately noticing at the entrance a glass in a holder at eye level to the right of the front door. And in the glass was a bouquet of tiny flowers. And I couldn't help thinking in that moment that no matter what our position in life is, no matter what our means may be or not be, there's a need for beauty in our life. Beauty is one of the great levelers that binds us all together, rich and poor. And to participate in beauty is to come into the presence of the holy. In the Middle Ages, there were those who recognized beauty as one of the primary elements of life, and so they spoke about truth and goodness and beauty. We Christians have focused a lot of our attention on truth and on goodness, but not so much on beauty. We have failed to see how sterile truth and goodness can be when they are not connected and related to beauty. I think this is the first sermon I've ever given focusing primarily on the theme of beauty. Beauty is not all sweetness and light. Rather, it's an intensity of contrast. The complexity and the intensity of this contrast is what creates the depth of our experience. The setting sun casting shadows on the hillsides. The dark night of the soul in juxtaposition with the joy that comes in the morning. This last week, we've witnessed the absolute horror and evil of the bombing of young girls in Afghanistan, seeking to learn and to become. And what we've also witnessed, the reunion of a mother and her son separated 3 years ago at the border under the then current immigration policy. There were hugs and tears and smiles. It was a moment of intense harmony, of beauty. Actively resisting hate and bigotry is an act of beauty. Loving each other in spite of differences, regardless of personality quirks or differing political views, is an aim toward beauty. Friction inherent in such contrast can find a more intense harmony in beauty's wide and transforming embrace. And isn't that what spirituality is all about? A continual journey of creative transformation so that in our lives and in the world, we not only experience beauty, but become ourselves with God, co-creators of beauty. We experience beauty as we connect with the earth. We are creatures, earthlings, born out of the womb of the earth. There's something deep within us that calls us into relationship with nature. Haven't you felt that as you've walked in the woods or just sat looking at the ocean? The Celts affirmed nature as the first revelation of God. I remember as a child, our family trip to the North Woods of Wisconsin. The smell of the pine, first time ever for me. The beauty of the white birch. You know the song, Land of the Silver Birch, Home of the Beaver, where still the mighty moose wanders at will. Blue lake and rocky shore, I will return once more. Boom diddy boom boom, boom diddy boom boom, boom diddy boom boom boom. That was my experience that summer. Then as a teenager, I spent a month at a Young Life ranch in Buena Vista, Colorado. As a Chicago boy, I looked with awe at the 14,000 foot peaks rising up behind the ranch. And I went to sleep nightly, listening to the sound of a rushing mountain stream that ran not far from my bunkhouse. I wonder, can you remember those early life moments when you first felt the wonder and beauty of nature? You and I live in a beautiful state. There are times, driving to Payson, where the road takes us through a rock canyon. I've looked up more than once, wide-eyed, at the contrast between the deep blue of the high Arizona skies and the reds and oranges and yellows of those rocks. What beauty, that contrast of color. Breathtaking. Perhaps you've been stunned to silence by a sunrise in Grand Canyon or a sunset in Sedona. Mary Oliver writes, "It doesn't have to be a blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words. And don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak." There is beauty in romance, sexuality, and companionship. What do you see when you look into the eyes of your beloved? Well, here's what Lord Byron saw. "She walks in beauty like the night, of cloudless climes and starry skies, And all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes. Thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. And then you remember Roberta Flack singing, "The first time I ever saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and the stars were the gifts you gave to the dark and the endless skies, my love." Wow. Is your heart beating a little faster right now? But then the Beatles sang, "All you need is love. Love is all you need. And I just want to hold your hand." Who of us adults and children hasn't felt the wonder and beauty of just holding someone's hand, experiencing in that moment a sense of connection, a reassurance of relationship and companionship? Is that not also beauty? Of course, I couldn't talk about this without also mentioning the beauty of music. Some scientists say that we can enjoy and respond to music even before we encounter speech. I remember as a young child lying on the floor, putting my ear next to the radio each Monday evening and listening to the wonderful music broadcast on the Firestone and Bell telephone hours, which were showcasing the best in classical music. How do you explain the interest of a child in music like that? Where did it come from? Later, when LP records came out and we didn't have a player, I would stop at our local record store where Mr. Olson let me play any record I wanted to hear. Then when I began to caddy at the golf course and had a little money, I often went to Olson's music store and purchased some of those records. I had over 70 of them before we had a player at home on which I could hear them. And here's a secret, but please don't tell anyone. I still have all of those records I bought in the 1950s. Along with my books, they're my friends. The beauty of music calls to us and we find ourselves responding. It embraces our whole person, our minds, our hearts, our bodies. It touches us in ways different from any other art, reaching into the depths of our being, into our very souls. Music can often express nonverbally what we find difficult to say with words. It can be a source of healing when we're experiencing a tough time. Watch a jazz saxophone player close his eyes and journey deep within his own soul in order to say through his horn what he feels in the depths of his heart. Be moved by Eva Cassidy singing "Over the Rainbow," or made uneasy by Billie Holiday's rendition of "Strange Fruit." This is truly soul music. When you really listen to music, it can take you in that moment to a whole other world. It can lead you to a mystical experience. One Saturday night in the late 80s, Betts and I had decided to go to a Paul Simon concert. It was being held in the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington. My sermon for the next day was all done, and I really felt free to get away. A wonderful feeling. Simon had just come out with his CD, Graceland. and he was in Tacoma with his whole entourage of African musicians, including Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Well, the music began, and it didn't take much for many to get up and out of their seats, dancing in the aisles. There was such joy being experienced in that moment. And there were all those Black musicians, along with all those white musicians, making music together, sharing the diversity of their rhythms and melodies in a rich display of intense harmony that transcended any notion of racial divide. I was so deeply moved that I went home afterwards and set aside my prepared sermon and wrote a whole new one that night, which I titled, I Met Christ at a Paul Simon Concert. The totality of that experience of beauty was a deep encounter with the source of beauty. I was transformed as I heard Simon's words, I have reason to believe we will all be received in Graceland. The world is the body of God. Everything can be an occasion of God, for God is in the wind, the water, the earth, and in every expression of love and compassion. If we are open to perceive it, we will discover grace and beauty in our hearts and all around us. I received a video this week from a friend who was born with dwarfism. In the video, his granddaughter, Mabel, who also has dwarfism, is playing with her friends. As the children traverse the playground equipment, Mabel has trouble going from one point to another. Her friends, without making a big deal about it, lend her a helping hand. It all seems perfectly natural. It is a moment of beauty. Beauty is deeper than race, ethnicity, gender. It's beyond religion, sexual orientation, disabilities, and economic status. We can come to know God for sure in the truth of Scripture and in the revelation of love we witness in Jesus. These sources can lead us to transformation, and they have for many of us. We can also experience God in the natural world, in the depths of our dreams, in hopes for peace, in the silence of the soul, in the eyes of animals, in the mysteries of music, and in acts of loving kindness. These too can transform our lives. Saint John of the Cross wrote, I did not have to ask my heart what it wanted, because of all the desires I have ever known, just one did I cling to, for it was the essence of all desire, to know beauty. Let us pray. In the silence before time began, in the quiet of the womb, in the stillness of early morning, is your beauty. At the heart of all creation, at the birth of every creature, at the center of each moment, is your splendor. Rekindle in us the sparks of your beauty, that we may be part of the splendor of this moment. Rekindle in us the sparks of your beauty, O God, that we may be part of the blazing splendor that burns from the heart of this moment. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.